Mit Hashem, maybe over the next week or two, finish up discussions, our discussions. The Meha Shiloh is just such a, you know, it's a yam, it's an ocean, and there's so many different things. And if I wanted to go, I'm not sure then I have to continue with the Mishpacha, with the Beis Yaakov, and the Sod Yisharim. There's just so much, and it's very, very difficult. So I thought maybe I would, we'll begin Mit Hashem maybe in a week or two to start talking about a different topic. I think maybe the Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer. Talk about different tzaddik and about his teachings, his life and his teachings. we were talking last week that a person who deals with doubt, a person who has to deal with doubt in a certain madrega, in a certain level, in a certain way, is greater than the person who turns away from doubt. That the Baruch Shalom made the human being in such a way where the Teva is that in this world there are doubts. And we saw that, we spoke a little bit that this is the difference between Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef, Yaakov Avinu and Yosef were seeking a life without doubts, a life of certainty. And the way of Yehuda was never to have that feeling of certainty. The family of Yehuda always lived with doubts. Yehuda never knew what's going to be the next day, and where are the Baruch Shalom's taking him, and so on. And Lemaisa, we... We see that the Sof Kol Sof, the Malchus of Mashiach, is Mashiach ben David. And it seems that Kosh Baruch Hu Davke sent us into this world that we should struggle with doubts. But what we're up to now, the small piece on the bottom of the page that you had from last week, that's something else. The bottom of the page, if you don't have it, you just look on. It's a small piece. I'm going to explain it. And then most of what I'm going to do tonight is going to be outside, because there were just pieces that I saw over the last... I mean, today I was looking at something, and I'll talk a little bit outside, and then we have time. Maybe we'll start the final piece that we're going to learn, which is really one of the greatest masterpieces of Chizuk that I've seen in any of the Chizuk Sfarim. Even though, as I just mentioned, according to the Ishbitzer, the person who deals with doubt and overcomes doubtful situations in a certain way is greater than the person who has everything smooth. Nevertheless, it's also for a person, it's forbidden for a person to seek doubtful situations. And that's what this piece is about. It's forbidden for a person to seek situations of doubt. But look at the way that the Rebbe explains. In the piece, Lo Tishtachav Elohem Velo Sa'avdein. Now everybody knows that it says in the Ten Commandments, it says in the Aseres Hadibros, that we're not allowed to bow down to idols, and we're not allowed to worship them. Okay, so this is a question of halacha. Why is it saying not to bow down, not to worship? But listen to the original explanation of the Ishbitzer here, and this, together with the next piece, which we'll talk outside a little bit, should pretty much bring, at least on our level, to a completion this inyan that we've been talking about, which is the deficiency that all of us are, that every person is born with something wrong, something missing, and our job is to try to clarify, to be mevarer that, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us to be mevarer these things, and how can we really feel that we're doing what's right in our lives. So the Rebbe writes here, Lo Tishtachav Elohem Velo Sa'avdein, Lo Tishtachav, what does it mean not to bow down? Now we have to understand, one of the great principles of Torah is that everything that's written in the Torah is meant forever and forever. Even though nowadays we're only able to keep a very small amount of the mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs are we able to keep? Of all the mitzvahs of Torah, there are only a few that we're able to really keep. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, Eretz Yisrael is not... Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a majority of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, so we're very limited. We're very limited in the amount of mitzvahs that we can keep. Nevertheless, it's a klal, it's a rule, it's a very important principle, especially in the svarim of the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, of the Chassidus svarim, that we have to try to understand how every single mitzvah in the Torah applies to every single Jew, whether you're Kohen or Levi Yisrael, whether you're a man or a woman, that every single mitzvah of the Torah has something that applies to every Jew forever. So what about Lo Tishtachav Elohem Velo Sa'avdein, that we no longer have Avodah Zarah? That at the time, everybody knows that the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, that the men of the Great Assembly davened, that the Yetzirah, that the evil inclination for Avodah Zarah should be removed. So nowadays, how does this prohibition of not bowing down and not worshipping idols really apply to us? What does it mean for us? So this forum talk about different things. But keeping in mind what we've been learning, listen to what the Ishbitzer says. Lo Tishtachav Elohem Velo Sa'avdein. Lo Tishtachav Ha'inu Shelo Yet Kofuf Tachas Ezeh Dover Shu Misnagel Ritzon Yisbarach. That means occasionally a person makes a mistake in his or her life. You make a mistake. Something goes wrong. You didn't plan for this to happen and it went wrong. And you feel bad about it. So everybody knows that there's a problem that when you do something wrong, there's a tendency that which you did wrong is going to lead to something else that's wrong. Which of course Chazal told us, we understand that one thing leads to another. For many reasons, and that's not the point here to discuss that psychologically, spiritually, why that happens. Once you open that door, when you open a certain door, and there's originally it might even start with curiosity or whatever it may be, or with a momentary desire, but generally the tendency is that one door leads to another door, and a person has trouble finding his way back. So the Rebbe is saying here, Lo Zishtachaver means not to bow down. That means that when a person makes a mistake, you have to be able to look at that mistake as a solitary, singular event of your life, to see that it's something that happened one time, and you don't bow down to that mistake. You understand? You don't bow down. What does it mean not to bow down to it? You don't become kofuf. You don't let that avera, or that mistake, or that moment, you don't let it have control over your life. Sometimes something happens that it's something that shouldn't have happened. And what will happen very often to a person is that because of that mistake, you redefine your very essence and being. You begin to look at yourself as a different person. I'm not the same person. I'm a low person. I'm a Rosh. I'm not a good person. So Lo Zishtachaver Lohem means Shelo Yetekof of Tachas Eze Dovashum Esnaglev Etzon Yisbar. It means, first of all, don't prostrate yourself. Don't bow down before something that is against God's will. That even if it happened, Kodem Kol, it shouldn't happen. So if you have a Yetzar, if you have a desire, you have a Taiva, you have an inclination to do something, don't bow down to an inclination. It's not the end of the world. You know, you don't have to, the second you have a taiva, the second you have a desire, you don't have to start bowing down to it. Yes, Master, yes, Master. I was always in this fall, I remember that my mother, she should be well, she always wanted to be the first one that we had, like when they would have a big sale in a certain department store. I remember as a kid, I have these fond memories of standing at 10 to 9 in front of Alexander's. You know, the old Alexander's, I don't know if it's still there in Rigo Park. So I used to stand there, remember, you know, and there'd be like 500 ladies there. And 500 ladies and my mother and myself, and then when the doors would open, there'd be a table where they were selling shoes, like at a reduced price or something. And everybody was going with sugar, you know, looking among the shoes. And I don't even know how many people even needed shoes. But it was such a messias that, listen, you know, you want something. Even when you want something, you know, don't be kuffed to a taiva. Don't be cuffed to a taiva. You know, I remember when I first saw, when I was in Muncie, my sister used to live in Muncie, I saw that the Vizhintzer, the Mutla Vizhintzer, so it struck me such a beautiful thing that when the Vizhintzer Rebbe, there are other tzaddikim that do this also, but I saw the first time by the Vizhintzer in Muncie, he should have an Arichas Yom, that I saw that when he would eat, he would never lean over to the food. When he eats, he sits like a king. I mean, you have to be able to afford a lot of dry cleaning for that. It's about this gelt. So when he would eat, he would sit up straight, and he would bring the food like this. And I was talking there to one of the chassidim. One of the chassidim said that it doesn't respond that, okay, to eat this, of course we're supposed to eat, and you're supposed to enjoy what you eat. But a human being doesn't have to lean towards his food. You don't have to lean. You don't have to make that extra motion towards the food. So l'sistachev elahem, that a person should not be kofed tachas eizah dovishu misnagel v'tenzbach v'akmis gabra kol eilo advarim shem kerech azorim v'chuk azoris. Don't be kofed if you hear a voice inside of you that's telling you to do something wrong. You don't have to bow down to that. You could be misgabra on it. Sometimes you think that there's something, that there's a taiva, there's a desire that's so overwhelming, there's no way you can stand up to it. The Rebbe says, not true. Stand up to it. And if, God forbid, something happened and you failed, you don't have to be meshubah to that failure either. It doesn't have to happen again. In other words, avera gereves avera is not a law. It's not a din. It's not a rule that one sin leads to the next sin. You could stand up and say, listen, it might have happened once. It's not happening again. I'm not bowing down to you. It's true that you got me. You got me. And therefore, you schlepped me a little bit. But now you want me to become a shmata to you? I should bow down to this desire? Don't bow down to a taiva. Rakas Gabra, a kol eilo dvarim shem koich hazorim v'chuk hazor is to be misgabra. That's lo yishtachaver lahem. That's not That's the iser, that's the prohibition nowadays. Never mind Avodah Zarah. Because any time a person, the Yetzirah inside a person, Chazal say, is called an El Zara, foreign God. That's not Avodah Zarah itself. Because that part of you is not the essence of who you are. And any time you bow down to something that is not essentially you, that's Avodah Zarah. That's Avodah Zarah. When the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, when he spoke about the danger of music, music has an enormous power to cause a person to bow down to something that's not really him. In other words, when you hear a song, and the song can put you in a certain mood, and the musician has the power at that moment to infuse you with certain thoughts and feelings that are b'chlal not your own, that they're not really yours. It's not really who you are. When a person becomes meshubed, becomes completely subservient to somebody else's thoughts or feelings, to the Yetzirah's expectations, that's already hishtach avoyim. Then you're bowing down. A person's nichshol, we all fail. But the difference between a great person and a person who's not great is that even when a great person fails, he's not mishtachaveh. He doesn't bow down to that failure. He's misgotten. He lifts himself up. And what does it mean v'loy savdeim? And what does it mean v'loy savdeim? And not to, l'shtach means not to bow down, l'loy savdeim means not to worship. So v'loy savdeim, the Rebbe says, shloitasa mehem avoid l'Hashem Yisbarach. Now this is the main thing that we have to talk about now. Shloitasa mehem avoid l'Hashem Yisbarach v'achnischa l'nisoyin k'day sh'tisgar bal yitzucha. U'bizet ta'avad Hashem Yisbarach. So now a person might think like this. You know what? One of the greatest things that a person can do in his life is to confront the Yetzer, to confront the inclination, and to overcome it. It's a very fantastic thing. It's the measure of who a person is, his ability to overcome evil. So a person might think that perhaps this is a way of serving God. V'lo savdeim, this which it says means that even, as I've just told you, that it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand up to Yetzer, right? To stand up to Ra, to stand up to evil. Therefore, you might think that perhaps this is a way of serving the master of the world, that what? Maybe I'm supposed to seek in subtle ways to put myself into situations that are somewhat dubious in order that what? I should be able to show the Yetzer who's who. So I can stand up to. Nobody's bothering me. And I'm feeling like, you know, I want to be able to flex my spiritual muscles a little bit. So maybe you want to create an avoda, a way of serving Hashem, where your idea is, let me go into a place, you know, let me take my wife and children to some place where there are, you know, a place far away from Yiddishkeit. And in that place, my wife and I, we're going to bring the whole world back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a very noble idea. But it might be you're doing something against the Ribbono Shel Olam. It might be doing something wrong to your children, to your wife, who knows. It's a very serious thing. I mean, you have to ask a tzaddik something. V'lo sa'avdeim means don't make a way of serving Hashem out of nisyonis, out of your temptations. That's the warning of the Torah as it applies to every Jewish man and woman now, without Avodah Zarah. Don't put yourself into precarious situations. Stay away from Averis. Stay away from, because you might think that I want to be able to stand up to it very good. If it happens, it'll happen anyway. You don't go looking for tzaras. Don't go to a place where you don't belong. Don't go to a place where you don't belong. He brings the Gemara. Let me just tell you what the Gemara says. It's a very, very famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yud Zayin, that has all these, the whole Daf Yud Zayin in Avodah Zarah is very, very remarkable things. So it says in the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonason, I'm sure many of you know this, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonason, Ava Azli Berucha. So it says that Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonason were walking along the path. So it says, Kimat lahanu trei shvili, they came to a crossroads, and there were only two ways to go. There were two roads that could be taken. Chad havepatzi epischa davaris kechavim. So one of the roads, if they would take one road, that would take them past the place of idol worship. They would have to go past the place of Avodah Zarah, where they were worshipping idols. V'chad havepatzi epischa dezaynis. And the other road was going to take them past a place of immorality, where the women were, a place of immorality. A Beis Zaynus. A Pischa de Zaynus. And there's no other way to go. I mean, they have to go, and these are the only two roads. So nowadays you'd have like people going down one and come back and go down the other. But their question was, then what should we do? What should we do? So Omalei Chad Lechavre. So one said to the other, Omalei Chad Lechavre. So one said to the other, Nezel Apiskan Avadisakovim, the Nochas Yitzray. Let's go down the road of where they're serving, where they're worshipping idols. Why? Because they were living ready to time after the Yetzar, the Anshei Knesset, the men of the Great Assembly took away they took away already the evil inclination for idol worship. So let's go down. What's the Shaila? We'll go past the church. Let's go past Avodah Zarah. For that, we don't have a Yetzar. Amalei Idach. So the other one said just the opposite. Nezel Apiska Designers V'Nach V'Le Yitzra V'Nekabel Igra. Just the opposite. Because of that, let's go down the road where those women are, and we'll go down that road where there is a very strong Yetzirah, there is a strong evil inclination. Let's go down that road, and we will vanquish, we will conquer the evil inclination, and we'll be rewarded for that. In the Kabbal Igra. So it says in the Gemara, the conclusion is, Kimatu Lahasam. So it says, Chazinu L'Zayis D'Achnon Mikamayu. So they Taka went down the road, where those women were expected to stand, and it says that the women when they saw the two tzaddikim coming, when they saw the two tzaddikim approaching, they went inside. They didn't want to stand outside. Normally they would stand outside to entice people, but they went into their places. They didn't stay outside. They ran away. Omalei minolacha. So the one now asked the other, minolacha, like, how did you know that, how did you take upon yourself to endanger yourself in such a way? I mean, the safe road would have been to go past Avodah Zarah. No one has a Yetzirah for it. This was the dangerous road. So how did you have the koyach? I mean, how did you know that you can endanger yourself in such a way to take such a chance? So he said this, says in the Pasuk, Ksiv mezima tishmolecha tzvuna tenatzracho. So he said that, look, it says in the Pasuk, Mepharshim explained that, it says in the Pasuk that a person who is firmly attached to words of Torah, the words of Torah are going to protect a person from Zima, and Zima means specifically these kind of things that have to do between men and women. So because I know that the two of us are firmly connected to Torah, therefore I knew that we would overcome this, and I knew that in doing so we would be able to receive the schar, the reward, and that's why I made that decision. Tosfos talks about it here too, and the halacha, this is a difficult gemara, obviously. And it seems to be going against everything the Ishbitz is saying. Fine. So the Ishbitz says as follows. Now let's finish. So he says, so he said to him, why are you allowed to do that? So he says, upirish Rashi, menolacha. What does it mean? The samchas anavshech lemeisi hacha v'lo mistafis mietzahara. So Rashi explains that the question of one tzaddik to the other, one amara to the other, was how did you endanger yourself to go to bring us into a place where the yetzahara, where the evil inclination would be burning. So the Rebbe writes, mizem muchach she'odam osu lahachnis atzma b'nisayin. Adarabba, from this Gemara we learn that a person is forbidden to walk down the road where there is an Nisayin. You're forbidden to bring yourself into an Nisayin, into a test, into a temptation. Even if your intention is what? That by my overcoming, it's true that this is a dangerous, I'm entering into a risky business. But if I succeed, I will bring great Kovod Shemayim. Now, what's the Kovod Shemayim that I will bring? What great honor will I bring for Hashem? That I was able to stand up to the evil inclination. And in doing so, to show that Hashem is king, and that the Yetzer Hara is a liar. And that would be, of course, bringing great Kavod Shemayim. That would reveal great glory to Hashem. But from this Gemara, the Ishbitz says, we learned that Hashem does not want you to do that. And only that, but he says, this is the meaning of Lo Sa'avdeim. That you're not allowed to serve Hashem in this way. With what? With doubts. In other words, you're not allowed to cause yourself to enter into doubtful situations in order to serve Hashem. But yes, it seems like the Gemara is just the opposite. because the decision of the tzaddikim was to go down that road that would bring doubt, right? Down that doubtful road. So it says Vishani Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yonason Shohi Betuchim by Divrei Torah Sheish Behem Tishma Yisam Kedem Misayim Shom Gemara. Says the Adrab, the Gemara is telling us that these two Amoraim, these two tzaddikim, because of their astounding greatness of Torah and their connection to Torah, they were able to be certain in the fulfillment of that verse, because they knew that verse, where it says in the pasuk that those who are people who are completely attached to Torah are going to be protected from this kind of immorality. So because they knew in themselves, or he knew in himself, that we are in this madrega, so he was able to do that. What are people like us supposed to say? So you're all thinking, of course, you're all thinking, okay, even though it's true, so but why didn't they go down the road of Avodah Zarah? So that's what he says, that's what Tosfos explains. Because Tosfos explains here, as he brings the which means what? There's an Isser Atzmi. There's a prohibition that you're not supposed to go near Avodah Zarah. That you're not supposed to go near Avodah Zarah. You're not to go near it. So you're not allowed to go near Avodah Zarah. And it says in the pasuk that the Gemara brings the pasuk, Al Tikrav Al Pesach Beisa, which Chazal, that's in Mishlei, which is talking about Apikorsis, heresy, and Avodah Zarah, idol worship. So this was the cheshbon that the Amora was making. I have two roads. Road A, there's idolatry. There's Avodah Zarah. But that's, and it's also to walk past Avodah Zarah. I mean, apparently there's no way to go around it, for whatever reason. And it's also, it's an Isser. Does it mean it's the Raisa? Maybe it's the Rabbana, maybe it's from the Rabbi, it's not from the Torah, but it's an Isser. It's an Isser, it's a Maisei Aveira. It's not Aveira to go past that place. On the other hand, there's a place of Zionists, of these women. Now there's no Isser in the Torah to walk past such a place. The question is, but a person has to know in himself. Now, if you make a mistake walking past that place, you're going to end up doing something much worse, God forbid, because you can be over on all kinds of terrible things. So Tosfos learns that because of their great level of Torah, that Amora preferred taking the chance, which in his eyes was kemat not a chance at all, because he was protected by the Torah, rather than be over in a very, rather than violate even a small rabbinic prohibition, let's say, that would mean, you know, not going near the place of Avodah Zarah. They want to go near that place. The Harishon, he ends up, but the first one, who knew all these cheshbonos, he still felt that he'd rather go past the place of Avodah Zarah, milahachnes atzmo b'nisoyin, than to bring himself into a real emotional struggle. He didn't want to be in a state of doubt. Because the difference is as follows. Walking past the house of walking past the church was not going to cause any skepticism or doubt. Because we no longer care about the church. It's stupid. Who cares? There's no skepticism. You're not going to walk. None of us drive past one of these places, you know, her divine mother of, our divine mother of eternal hemorrhoids or something. Nobody goes past one of these places and thinks, oh, you must be so gewaldig in there. Oh, if I could only go there. No one thinks like that. Maybe there's such a mishagasim. I've spoken to people with thousands of problems. I've never heard once of such a yetzar. So no one's going to go past that place. I mean, nobody's going to be thrown into a state of emotional warfare as a result of walking past such a place. But if you're going to walk past the other place where the women are, then there's going to be skepticism, doubt, and an internal struggle is going to take place. So one of the chacham, one of the tzaddikim said, I don't want any internal struggles. And Lamaisi, he was right. He was right. We shouldn't put ourselves into a state of internal struggles and doubts and skepticism. The only thing is that the other rabbi, the other tzaddik reassured him, it says in Pasuk, and I knew that we're on this level, that we're protected, we have this fantastic, we're on this plan. We have this insurance plan. We're on this program. Not Blue Cross, not Oxford, not this. We're on a special thing that's called, that's what the pasuk says. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Mezima tishmalecha. That the Torah protects you from such a thing. It's an insurance policy. In other words, we're not going to fail. Will there be an internal struggle? He says yes. He was prepared for that. But ultimately, we'll win. We're not going to be neutral. We're not going to fail. There might be a Yetzirah. That's what he said. We'll overcome the evil inclination and we'll be rewarded for it. That means that we're not insured. We're not insured we don't have that much coverage that we're not going to have a Yetzirah. Because there's still a Yetzirah for this business with immorality. We're going to have it. In all likelihood, there will be a Yetzirah. But we're covered that it'll be alright. We'll overcome it. The bottom line is, what the Hizbitz is saying, the bottom line is, that's for tzaddikim like that. But for people like us, who certainly, occasionally, are not attached to Divrei Torah, so for people on a more common cord type of a human being, the pashas of this Gemara is that to be like the first tzaddik, and that way is to stay away from skepticism and doubt. Skepticism and doubt and Yetzirah are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends your way. Hashem sends them your way. You don't have to look for them. You don't have to look for them. I've spoken to you about this before. I very often have this kind of a question. This is a shaila that comes up very often with young people here that have good intentions. But I think that it's wrong. But they have good intentions. I've had many questions like this of young people. I'll get a call in school that there'll be a young woman is telling me that she was at a Shabbaton. She comes from a very religious background. She went to Beis Yaakov and everything. It's great. And she was at a Shabbaton and she met one of my students from Ezra, from the school, who is not religious, but he came to this Shabbaton, like NCSY or something. You know, one of these nice things, a Shabbaton, to be Makar of kids. And she had a conversation with this boy. She had a conversation, and she's calling me up to know, like, what can she do to be Makar of him? So I ask her, and how old are you? She says, 18. So the boy is 16, and you're 18? You want to be Makar of him? Stay home. I say, stay home. She says, what do you mean? I say, you told me. Okay, we're working on it. You know, we have a staff of people. We'll see what we can do. I'll try to get him invited to people's homes for Shabbos. But you're telling me, and it's interesting, I always get calls about the good-looking guys. or the other way. Same thing also. I'll have some guy that met one of the girls from school. What in the shama? What in the shama? Whoa, what in the shama? So I say, yeah, that's all you saw is in the neshama? See, it's an interesting thing, no? It's like as if they're all like these souls walking around the streets. What in the neshama? A tire in the neshama? I get some yeshiva bacha calling me. I was at the Shabbaton, you know, and we had a session. What a tire in the neshama? What a tire in the neshama? And look, do me a favor. No, I don't say this in a nasty way. I say like, it's a fantastic thing. They want to do something good. But a person, you know, there's so many negias, you don't know. You can't, to be 100% honest with yourself. To be 100% honest with yourself. I used to go, I had a friend of mine who was very big with NCSY, and I used to go with him sometimes to speak at these things. And we got there remarkably, you know, early on a Friday. We're up in the mountains and they're having a Shabbaton. Hundreds of kids. And they have these, you know, advisors and this and that. You know, it's a nice thing. But I noticed that the girls who weren't so pretty, for some reason people didn't think that they needed so much kiruv. I couldn't figure, you know, like why is it that the girls that were, there's certain girls that were always on the side and didn't seem that the advisors were advising them so much. But then when there was a girl who was more of an attractive, presentable type, then the advisors were talking about the Rebbeinu Shlom and everybody's, you know, about Yiddishkeit and, you know, and Kol Olam Kulo Yigeshet Tzayma Oy, you know. It's like, you know, a person, no chachmas. What ein chachma vein slunik neged Hashem? That's what the rabbi's talking about over here. What kind of chachmas? No chachmas. You put yourself in the sionis. You can be makarav this one. You can be makarav that one. The Baruch Hashem doesn't want that. That's not a way to serve him. It's not a way to serve him. It's bechlal not a way to serve him. That's what he says. Leisavdei. Don't serve him in these ways. We have to be like Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik means stay away. Doesn't mean to be antisocial. I'm not saying to be antisocial, not to be able to say good morning to someone. No, not to be antisocial. But I'm always in the spoil. Like these people that have all kinds of doubts about how the tzaddikim and these are halachos in Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to things, I'm going to be stepping on some toes now, and I hope that by now most of you know I don't mean this in any personal way. But I try to say things as I think that they are, and if I'm wrong, Adarabba, you know, you can correct me, and I'll be minded to the truth. But you know, when it comes to things like, you know, a person says nowadays, you know, when it comes to something like mixed swimming is, listen, again, like with every Aveira, you could say, listen, it's an Aveira, and I'm hoping one day to overcome this Aveira. Okay. Can anybody have a taina against a Jew like that? Who could have a taina? No one has a complaint against a Jew that says, it's a problem, I'm going to try to overcome it. It's honest. That's fine. That's our job in this world, to try to know, to recognize what's wrong, and to be honest with ourselves and to overcome it. The Kotzka was filled with admiration of other Marishan, of Adam. You want to know why? Because when Hashem asked him about the tree, so he says, Achalti min ha'etz. I ate from the tree. So the Medrash says, Achalti v'ochal. What does that mean? I ate from the tree, and I'll do it again. So the Medrash says, I ate from the tree today, and to tell you the truth, I'll do it again tomorrow. So says the Medrash. So Kotzka says, what a madrega. The Kotzka was envious of that. He said, do you hear that? To know yourself like that, to be honest, to say, I ate from the tree, and I think that, in other words, on my level now, and who I am, I think I would do it again. So what the fuck is this? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you can't go mixed swimming. Finish. It's a sugi in the Gemara Gittin, Taisus. In certain places, people think that you talk about this, you know, you're a lunatic, you know, you're crazy, you're from the Middle Ages. You know, it's crazy, but like, what a person, is there somebody that goes to these places and doesn't have a Yetzirah? So everybody says, I just go to cool off. It's not, the whole thing is not true, it's not true. It smacks of such falsehood. And even if one day that was true, is that always true? I don't want to belabor the point, I think that it's obvious. I don't want to cross over into something that's not nice already. But that's what the Rebbe's talking about. Lois ishtach v'lehem, v'lois avdein. Don't worship a taiva, don't bow down to a taiva. If it happened once, alright, lift yourself up, pull yourself out of it. There's a yetzar for something, you're drawn to it, don't bow down to it, be a mensch. Ani agever. So you might want to be such a macho guy, you want to be so religious, that you're going to go into places and you're going to free all the sparks in that place. You're not going to free any sparks. You're going to make a fire in that place. There are no chochmas. It says in Shulchan Aruch, that's the way of Yosef HaTzadik. And our job is to be Yosef HaTzadik. Finished. Not to look at things that are improper, to stay far away from things that are improper. You know, all these svaras that will be able to do it, and, you know, like someone told me, they have a svar, like I had this person said to me, I was suggesting for a certain person, maybe send your child to a school where it's separate, not boys and girls. The person said, well, I'm worried that maybe my son will grow up to be, you know, maladjusted. So I understand, for thousands of years, why would the child be maladjusted? You know, maybe he won't be able to get married. That's what the mother told me. Because he's not going to understand girls. Like, in high school, we all understood girls and women. We all understood them. And now we were all prepared for marriage. As a result of our high school, we're experts. Yeah, we're big experts. The whole thing, this is crazy. But you need a moment of clarity to admit it, or else, you know, you're going to be angry with me for saying this. But if we're honest with ourselves, the kid's not going to get married because he went to yeshiva. I mean, the whole thing is, for thousands of years, Jews went to yeshivas. You know, it was never a problem. You know, and it's like they're not going to know how to deal with people. Well, they're not going to know how to deal with people. So instead, you see the chevra, they know how to deal with people. Oh, they know how to deal with people. I'm talking about the opposite, men and women. They know how to deal with them. They're handling with them all the time. So this is just a pashut, you know, this is Lois Avdeim. In Bishalach, now this you don't have in front of you, talk outside for a few minutes. I'm sorry that I went a little bit too much into Arichas, I felt that I should. In Bishalach, the Ishbitz says an extraordinary thing. I say that before each piece. Yes, it's true. It says that when we came to the Red Sea, when we came to Yam Suf, so it says, so we stood across, we stood opposite Egypt. We encamped opposite the place of the Egyptians. So the Rebbe writes, Dine Uma Yisraelis, as Yerheim Chelek Hashem Yisbarachim, Dvukim B'chayim Pshutim B'li Shum Levush. He's saying a very deep thing. And this has to do with exactly what we're learning now, by not being Meshubah to a Yetzirah, and not putting yourself into the wrong place.
The Rebbe says that the Jewish people, in their very nature of who they are attached to Hashem. Hashem is Pashut. What does it mean, Pashut? What does it mean in Hebrew, Pashut? Pashut means simple. What does it mean when we speak about Hashem simple? Doesn't mean that he's not a deep thinker. So what does it mean? The Rambam said Hashem is the Tachlis HaPshitus, right? Pshitus. The Maral says every page, the Hashem is Pshitus, Pshitus. Right? White is a color of, white is a wonderful color because white is Pashut. So what does it mean, Pshitus? Pshitus means unencumbered. It means that there isn't, see, we're not Pashut. We're not Pashut. Something is not Pashut, it's not Pashut if it's composed of different parts. So a table is not Pashut. Why? Because a table, it is formica, and it has some metal, and within the formica, there are different parts, and within the metal, there are different alloys, and so on and so forth. I mean, I don't know anything about this stuff, but it's not Pashut. You and I, we're not Pashut. Physically, we're made up of a million different things, and then emotionally and intellectually, all these different things are going on at the same time. Because of that, we're always flying from one me'olam v'ad'olam. We're being tossed from one thing to another because we're not pashut. We have compartments. There are parts, and these parts are not always working together. When the Maral says that Hashem is pashut, it means that by the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything is absolutely true and clear. There's nothing, there's no encumbrance, there's no separation. Hashem is not some days feeling like this, some days feeling like that. He has this part and that part and so on. And all that's what the Rambam is explaining in the Maran Avukim. What does it mean that Hashem is sometimes angry? You know, it says in the Torah, sometimes like this and like that. Okay, that's what all the Rishonim talk about that. I mean, obviously that's a subject that's very important. It's not for now. But Hashem is Tachlis HaPshitus. So Maral says that the Jewish people, since we are a portion of God Himself, and this is what distinguishes us from the nations, as the Rebbe is going to explain here, in the very depths of who a Jewish person is, he's completely Pashut. He's Pashut. Chayim Shutim Bishul, B'li Shum Levush. We're not stuck in one way. We don't have certain, you know, I don't have to be this way because my personality is, I have this part of my personality that makes me do this thing. We don't have that. V'yoinkim imkor chayim ahu. K'meisha Shem Shbaruch Mub Shem Mikol Midas Mikol Gaivin. Hashem doesn't have different midas. Again, he reveals his ways in this world with different attributes. That's all the Rishonim talk about. But Hashem in his essence does not have different midas. He doesn't have like anger and happiness, sadness and laziness. Hashem is Pashut. He is what he is. Kain Yisrael. Hein bimkor chiyusim einach uzosim b'shum goivin ulevush koyach. She was built to Hashem levadoi. All we have in the very essence of who we are is that we're attached to Hashem. And just like Hashem is simple, so too we're simple. Aval ha'umais, but when it comes to the nations of the world, yesh lahem l'kol uma v'uma eze koyach v'goyven acher. The Rebbe says that when it comes to the nations of the world, every nation of the world has a certain midah, a certain personality, and it's stuck in that way. And no matter what that nation tries to do, and no matter what occupation they become engaged in, that nation is meshubed, is enslaved to a certain predisposition. It has a certain midah. And he gives examples. Kegoin Bavel. For instance, he goes through a few of them. Bavel. Babylonia, Bavel. Koichim hu b'hisnasus. We're told in the Navim, we're told by Chazal, that the nature of the Babylonian people is hisnasus. What does it mean, hisnasus? Gaiva, conceit. The way of Babel is conceit. He doesn't bring all the psukim here. The psukim all over Tanakh, the Chazal. That the way of the Babel is a certain elitism. Gaiva, conceit. Plishtim, the Philistines. The Plishtim. The plishtim are meshuga to have a parnasa. The plishtim, the very nature of the plishtim is that they're always thinking of how can they do something to improve their business. How can they make a better living? That's the meaning of plishtim. In other words, they lack completely in trust in God. and they're obsessed with how will I make my panos? Like, what can I do? What could I do? Like, what, you know, how can I outdo and outsmart and, you know, what chat? Until he can feel certain that he has a way to make a panasa. Vinyin Moav klipasim hutkufis. Moav, we already know. The way of Moav is chutzpah, not zispanim. Moav is not even gaiva. It's beyond gaiva. I don't know what word to use. Nochem. Beyond kufis, azispanim. It's a
brazenness.
Only brazen. Brazenness. Like, you know, they don't care what anybody thinks. No cheshbon. And that's Moav. I mean, that's Moav. I mean, Moav was named Shinhin Moav. He spoke on Shabbos. She names Moav after the daughter of Lot. As a ma'aser with her father, Moav. It's like, there's nothing to be ashamed about. Moav doesn't have busha. There's no busha. There's no embarrassment. It's kifus and azazpanim and brazenness and chutzpah. That's the way of Moav. Shechazik b'daitim kach. And he says this has a lot to do with eating. He says Moav is very involved with eating. With eating. Everything's with eating. And because Moav is very brazen, Moav enjoys a lot of food, and in general, hachavas hadas. What does it mean, hachavas hadas? You know, Moav wants to be able to, like, you know, a good sauna, a good schwitz, good food, you know, not to, you know, like, to be on a raft, like in a pool with a pina colada. So, you know, and like, this is it. This is a machayah. I mean, we all enjoy these things from time to time. But this is the definition. I mean, this is the defining character of Moav. And he says, Moav gets very angry if you try to take away one of these things. Moav gets very angry and he says, we'll react violently if you try to take away his pina colada. He'll react violently. Because this is the ganze leben. It's his whole life, you understand? It's his whole life. That's why I explained a few weeks ago that you know, it says in the Medrash about the guy that turned over the whole table because they didn't bring him a certain nut that he wanted. So the Isbitz says he was right. He was right for what he did, because if that's a person's entire life, is this world, and if this world's not working out, you have reason to get upset. Your whole, if you have no other world, and your whole life is this world, and therefore if you miss your bus, you have reason to kick someone, to get angry. Or like I mentioned then 2 weeks ago, like one of the ball players that he's so upset because he struck out that he smashes his hand and he breaks and he can't play for 3 years or something. Because he struck out once and he smashes his hand. I remember these guys, like, you know, they're doing these things. It's, you know, why? He's right. Because his svar is right. Except it's stupid, because even though Ilam Hazeh is a stupid svar, right? Don't you understand why is he so angry? Listen, I don't have another world. All I have is this world. So this world's got to go right. But a Jew has no Ilam Haba, so if it's not in this world, it doesn't work out 100%. It's okay, it's not. I mean, it's not. So Moav has this hachobis adas that it's got to be. And if someone threatens the progress of the brazen desire of Moav, then you're in danger of your life. And this is with all the nations. Each nation has its own derech. V'nei Shem Yisbarach Pi Yisrael Levanu Umas. Listen to this. Now, this is a half hour's worth in 3 minutes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu disperse the Jewish people among all these nations. A couple of you can go here, a couple of you can go there, and Bovel and Moav, and here, a couple of you can go all these places. Because Hashem, we're not allowed to place ourselves in danger, but Hashem put us among the nations to be living in places where those kochas, or that koch, that nation is pounding away. And Hashem wants us to stand up to those kaiches, not to bow down to them, to not to give in to idol worship, not to give up, but to stand up, and to reject them, and to place all of their faith in their Baruch Shleilam, to trust in the Master of the world in those places. We lost it, and when Mashiach will come, when the Baruch Shleilam is going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and take us away from all the nations, then Hashem will give us all of these things. What? He'll give us all the parnasa that we need. Not a yetzahar. He'll give us all the hachavas adas. To have all the expansiveness. Why? Behind us, nasa shel bavel. We'll have the gaiva of bavel, but not in a bad way. The pride of bavel. Because that's a good thing to be proud, right? I mentioned, I said last night to one of the chevra,
that I saw in this book, the chicken soup book. There's a fantastic thing there. There's this kid that somebody heard this kid who was standing with a bull. You know how he used to throw up the bull and try to hit it? Fungo, right? So the kid's trying. He says, "Here he is, John Smith up at bat. 3-2 count, bottom of the ninth. Here, you know, he's talking about himself. John Smith, the greatest batter that ever lived." And this guy's like watching, and the kid 10 times in a row misses. His own, like he, and then, and the guy couldn't believe it. Each time he said, "John Smith, the greatest batter in the world." Finally, the 10th time he says, "What a pitcher." What a pitcher. This guy, John Smith, is the greatest pitcher that ever lived. It's a gewaldig geworden. Now you can learn from such a thing, it's a gewaldig geworden. What a pitcher. Yes, yeah, guy, fantastic. Three strikeouts, three consecutive strikeouts. That's a fantastic word. You hear this? Because pride, it says in Pasuk, "Yig b'libo b'darkei Hashem." You know, you have to lift yourself up. You have to have pride. So Mashiach will come. We're going to take from Bavel. We're going to squeeze out from Bavel their isnasis, but in a beautiful way. The pride of Bavel. Sounds like a book. The pride of Bavel. Yeah. As Nasus Abav, the Torah says, "Shir Shinsim Plishtim will have the wealth of the Plishtim." The wealth, as is described in Navi, will have the wealth of the Plishtim. Barachav Shamov will have the great expansiveness of Moav. V'chein Kulam Yitin Lehem. Now, why will Hashem give us all these gifts? Why? Listen to this. Ba'avur Hatzar Shesovlu Mehanisyonu Shahoylehem Begalus. Hashem's giving this all these things to us as a gift because of the unbelievable anguish. Because we denied ourselves all these things when living in Golas. And as a reward for all the years of denial, of not bowing down, and of being strong and standing up to these things and turning away from them and trusting only in Hashem, look how much more achava we could have if we didn't have to pay for all the tuitions and for being kosher. All the achavas. And everything else. So all the tzar. So he says, when Hashem will implant within us all these wonderful things, then these very same things that were ugly by the nations will be filled with holiness. Malayim Kedusha. Without end. Because it's from Hashem. And Hashem is infinite and partial and simple. It's not going to be any more one craziness that I have a compartmentalized need. It's going to be part of the overall scheme of godliness, which is without end, which is beautiful, and doesn't have borders and compartments. It'll be portion, everything. The Rosh Hashanah is without end. So there'll be no end, there'll be no gvul, there'll be no border to our enjoyments. But it'll be filled with holiness. And he says, this is what it says, Beferish in the Navi. It says in the 14th parak of Yeshaya. The Navi there is talking about how the Plishim were always so certain that everything that they did to earn a living and everything they did to become rich, they were so certain that this was going to bring them wealth. And the Navi says that in the future, V'roh b'chayrei dal v'avyoyim levetach yirbotzu v'heimati b'rov sharasheich. That Hashem, the Navi Yeshaya says to the Plishim that in the future, the firstborn of the impoverished, meaning that the Jews who you always made fun of, that they're poor, that they're impoverished, they take off Shabbos, the ones that you say are impoverished, v'hevyoinim, the poor ones, levetach yirbatzu, they will be living with great certainty and wealth. V'heimati b'rav sharasheich, and you, he's talking to the police, and the Navi's talking about the police, you, I will kill b'rav in hunger, sharasheich, your root. Because your business in this world is to be hungry every second for money, to be hungry for more pleasures, I'm going to destroy you with hunger. You who always thought you're so satiated, and you made fun of the Jews that they have to live a life of deprivation, you're going to choke on your pleasures. And I'm going to destroy you with your hunger. That's what he says in Ovi. So that's the pshat. In the end, what it says, that's what he means in the Pasuk. V'alzer omar kosov nechoysachanu, haynu, when it says that we encamped by the sea and we were opposite the Egyptians, the meaning of being opposite the Egyptians is that in this world, when you look at the Egyptians, when you look at the non-Jewish world, it's mamish the opposite of who you are. And it stands as a continuous challenge and it creates doubts and skepticism about whether what you're doing is right and can you manage, can you handle it. But Hashem promises that what? Hashem said, don't worry, go through the Yom Tov, I'm going to redeem you.
You're going to be okay. Hashem promises us a redemption that if we bear with Him and we suffer through denial and we deprive ourselves of these ugly things all these years in Golas, Hashem's going to take us out. And our enemies are going to fall before us. All these karechas are going to be filled with holiness. That would seem to be opposite us. That would seem to be destructive. Hashem, if we stand up to it in this world, Hashem will redeem us. And ultimately, the same way that we were able to retrieve all of the spoils of Egypt, when Mashiach will come, we will retrieve all the spoils of those years of Golus that we were deprived of. We should be zoche to see this. Maybe you may know amen. Rabbi Chanan Mekashem, Omer Ratzah, Kosh Baruch, Zaksa, Zalthich, Chim, Torah, Mitzvah, Shneman, Echofitz, Man, Tzikil, Yad, Torah, Yad.